going to be a community Thanksgiving service. Out there on the table is the information you will need if you know what Zoom is and how to be connected, all that. That information is out there on the table. Make sure you grab that up. Should be an interesting community-wide Thanksgiving service that we'll do this evening there with the Mount Carroll Ministerial Association. Also on the table is a sign-up sheet for Right Now Media, where you put down your name and your email address, and we're going to gift you a subscription for a year on that, where it's an incredible resource with Bible studies and videos and movies and clips and music and kids' videos, all kinds of amazing things that you can use to grow in your faith while you're at home and as part of that. Now, also, something to remember, due to the uptick that we've seen in the recent weeks, we have gone to full masks and social distancing because of that. We've seen a large increase in recent days, so we're going to make that a requirement here for Sunday morning worship together. Let's see, I got one more thing here, but I can't read my own writing. All right, I guess I'll have to figure that out while we worship this morning. All right, hey, let's pray together, and we're going to get started in worship. Father God, I thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. It is a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day. And we thank you that we're able to gather here together. I just ask that you'd bless this time in worship. And as we turn to your word and we remind ourselves of how thankful we should truly be for who you are and what you've done and who we are because of it. And Lord, this morning we come before you and we just ask that you'd be with all those right now who are sick, and we ask that you'd touch them and heal them up and make them well. Lord, for those with cancer, we ask that you'd touch and heal their bodies. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to work at healing the brokenness and division in our nation. And we just ask that you'd do an amazing thing, and that you would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the hearts and the minds of your people and the people that we influence. And Lord, we just ask that this day would be a day where we honor you and love you with all that we are. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, this morning we are going to use videos again so you can enjoy worship together right where you're at. As we watch these videos, feel free to sing where you're at and enjoy them.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Raising my Savior. This is my story. This is
is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Sing your praise unending.
10,000 years and then I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him
Good morning. It is great to be here this morning with you all. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you so much that we don't have to jump off of tall buildings to prove you is right and true. We don't need to step out into the middle of oncoming traffic, and we don't need to run headlong into difficulty or live life carelessly or recklessly to prove that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just need to live each day by faith, and it will bring enough opportunity for you to be proven as true each and every one of those days. So, Lord, thank you for proving yourself to us over and over again. That you are faithful and you are true and you are loving and kind. And in the hectic pace of our lives, we sometimes forget that and we forget to give you thanks. And we ask for so much and give you so little in return. But Lord, this morning we want to come before you and be reminded of what it means to be thankful in all circumstances. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would be with each and every one of us in the weeks to come. I pray that you would be with those who are right now sick and at home or sick in the hospital. We ask that you'd come alongside them and you would make them well. And, Lord, even if you don't, and even if one day we hold a funeral service for each and every one of them, Lord, we yet will trust you. It doesn't prove that you don't exist and you don't care. It just proves that one day each and every one of us is going to die. And how that happens, we don't know. But one thing that we do know is that each one of us needs to be in a right relationship with you. That you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And that we would have the opportunity to come to know you and love you and serve you. And so this morning we come before you and we thank you for that opportunity and we embrace it. And you have promised where two or three have come together in your name, embracing that truth, you are here with us. And we rejoice in that beautiful presence through your Holy Spirit this day. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and we honor you today, and it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right. This morning, the sermon is entitled Thankful and Not Afraid to Show It. And we go through life, and it seems to me that the longer I live and the more I see that the more we have, the less thankful we are for the things that we do have or the things that come our way. If you think about it, a man crossing the desert who has a flask of water and partway across runs out, and he finds for himself a mud puddle to drink from, is a much happier man than a man who has an artesian well just babbling over in his yard and it just runs into a ditch and down into the stream. A person who can afford anything, anytime that they want, they can eat wherever they want, buy whatever they want, isn't as happy or thankful as a person who has nothing to feed his family that day and happens to put on his coat and reaches in the pocket and pulls out a $20 bill. Tell me who's happier in that scenario. A person who has 75,000 followers on Instagram is not any happier than a person who has a best friend or a few close friends to be there with them in difficult times, because they may like your posts on Instagram, but they're not there to help you in your time of need. How many of you are thankful for your life just the way it is right this very minute? Every last bit of it, every area, nothing is out of sorts. Everything's perfect, right? I may have gone a little too far with that one. But you know what's interesting is this, is that all of us have things that we would like to improve, but few of us have a real full enjoyment of what we've got right now. You know, Deanne sent me a text this morning, and she said, if money were no object, I would get you this. And she sent me a picture of one of these massage chairs, you know. My neck always hurts, my back always hurts, and this massage chair, you sit in it, and a friend of mine has one, and you put your arms in it, and it sits there, and it massages you all the way from your fingertips to the back of your head, all the way down to your toes, and it just squeezes and pulses, and just then these things go up and down your back like this. She said, if I could, money were no object, I would get you this. And I said, I have everything that I need. And I sent her some pictures of our kids, a little cabin in the woods, and a picture of her and me. And I think she's crying right now at home. It's kind of cool. She's like, me too. You know, so the guys, perfect thing to do so you don't have to buy your wife a Christmas gift. So anyways, just say, baby, we've got everything we need. And just send that. Fills her heart, fills her soul, everything's good, and you get out of spending way too much money this Christmas. But the question for all of us is, are we thankful, and who are we telling about it? Who are we expressing our thankfulness to? Are we looking around at all that we've done and all that we have and say, I'm not doing too bad. I'm happy. Look at what I've accomplished. Are we looking at what we have and we talking to our spouses about it? Are we looking at what we have been given and blessed with and thanking our parents for all the things that have made us get to where we're at? I asked one gentleman who is very wealthy and one of the hardest working men that I know, and at almost 80 years of age, he is still pounding it out every day, building a business, and he says, I'll work until they find me dead on my shop floor. I said, what was it that made you successful? He says, you know what has made me successful? My parents taught me two things. They taught me how to see an opportunity and seize it, and they taught me what it means to have someone who believes in me and is there to help. And it was always them. He says, I'm so thankful for those two lessons. When was the last time we went back and just thanked the people who helped us to get here for their participation in getting us here? Because none of us would be where we're at without that help. Whether it's good or bad, you know, sometimes, to be honest, a really bad example of a parent is the best example we could have to help us go in the right direction. I don't ever want to be like, so we go, we turn right instead of going left. So sometimes bad examples can be great examples. And sometimes we need to even be thankful for them. You see, we need to thank God for the things that we already have, for our past blessings and hardships and our current blessings and hardships, because they're making us who we are. And I love that song. It's showing us and proving God over and over again. You know, when a hardship comes, most people go, oh no, what am I going to do? And instead, we as Christians can say, oh my, what's God going to do? Because far too often we worry about what we're going to do and how we're going to overcome instead of looking to say, okay, God has to show up right here, right now, because if he doesn't, we're not going to make it. And you know, life isn't like TV shows or movies. I grew up on the Dukes of Hazzard, and what was the one thing you could always count on by the end of the episode? Everything was going to be all right. Roscoe was going to crash his car, and Boss Hogg was going to look stupid. But everything was going to be all right for the Duke boys, right? That's not life. Sometimes you do hit rock bottom, and sometimes you do bounce. But here's the great thing, that every time that happens, God is right there. And I hate to quote my dad, but my dad always would ask me when I messed up. He would look at me and say, did you learn anything? And if my answer was yes, he'd say, what'd you learn? And I typically say, not to do that again. And then he'd say, okay, that's a good start. But God is always asking us, did we learn anything? And what can we do differently? Some of the most important questions we can teach one another when we fail, that failure isn't fatal, but it's an opportunity to learn something and learn how to do something better. And I'm thankful that in America we have the most incredible opportunity to fail 1,000 times and get back up and still succeed. Part of the success is getting back up, and part of the success is being thankful for this moment that we have. You know, the sun came up and it was beautiful this morning. We got up, came in. It's a great day of opportunity. But we need to be thankful for everything, because blessings and gifts are things we shouldn't take for granted, and we should always be thankful for every day. Because thanksgiving and thankfulness is mentioned 140 times in Scripture. And this one is kind of weird. It's a peculiar thanksgiving tale of Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home and to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now what's interesting about Daniel, let's back up and remember some of the context. As a young boy, he was stolen, carried off into Babylon, put into service, made a slave. He then went through all kinds of adversity. He found himself with his life threatened over and over again because King Nebuchadnezzar was a kind of a crazy cat. He sat there and he determined that he had a dream, and he wanted the soothsayers and the prophets to be able to tell him what his dream was all about, but wouldn't tell him what the dream was, and says, if you can't tell me, I'm going to kill everybody. And Daniel goes, well, you know, give me a minute. And he goes before God and he says, God, this is what's going to happen. So if you can help me out, that'd be great. And then he goes to Nebuchadnezzar and tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream he had the night before. And one thing leads to another. And the crazy thing about that is he stands there and he goes, this is what it means. And his life was spared, not because of himself, but because of what God had done. And now as an old man, there's a decree issued that if you worship anybody but the king, you'll be killed. Now as an old man, Daniel had trusted God way too many times. And his life had been in jeopardy more times than just once. And he knew that by going and giving thanks to God, it would mean his execution. But guess what he did? He went and gave thanks and prayed three times a day, like was his custom every day. And he didn't care. Because if God could deliver him from all of these other things, he surely could take care of him in that moment. Because it was more important for him to give thanks and honor God than to do anything else. His whole life had been spent praying and giving thanks to God for all that God had done, and it was not about to change. But how about you? How are you doing in the middle of a pandemic and restrictions and sickness? How are you doing in the middle of an economy that's wonky at best? How are you doing in the midst of all this? Are you remembering to thank God for what you have? It was interesting. The other day, Caitlin came home and Jared came home from college and on Friday night. And they got there and Caitlin went and we had gone grocery shopping for the first time in like a month. And so Deanne and I went and we stocked the shelves. We got it all done. It's all there. And Caitlin comes in and she opens up the pantry and turns on the light and she goes, "Look at all the food I have access to." And she went over to the refrigerator and she went, and she goes, "The shelves are full. How incredible is that?" And she was so excited. And then she ate some kind of leftover thing I had there instead of making something new. But nonetheless, she was excited at what was available to her and thankful for it. I was just glad, and her mom was just glad that she was home. Yes, the shelves were full at that moment, but as you know, teenagers in the house can help clear them quick. But the great thing about it is, are we thankful for what we have? Today we're going to look at a few guys who didn't have it as good as we do today. Life started out for them pretty normal. Probably just like us. They're going along. They start raising families. They've got jobs. Everything's going pretty good. And something happens and life takes a turn for the worse. And most of us have been there. Family member gets a diagnosis of cancer or heart disease, or we lose a loved one and life isn't normal anymore. But these guys, it was taken to a whole new level. They contracted a terminal disease called leprosy, and they got cut off from everybody. They got kicked out of their houses. They got kicked out of their towns. They got kicked out into the countryside, and they were considered unclean and began to literally rot away bit by bit, piece by piece. They had no hope and no future, just the certainty of death coming their way. And even the Bible had some stuff to say about them. In Leviticus 13, 44 through 46, "The man is diseased and unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sores on his head. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has an infection, he remains unclean, and he must live alone. He must live outside the camp. To be forever unloved and untouched and destined to die alone and discarded from his family and from his society." You know, it's pretty crazy that anyone would have to live that way. But that's what was necessary to keep everybody else from being infected with leprosy, that they were not, you know, they got kicked out of the camp. They were told they couldn't be part of it. And wherever they went, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," whenever they got close to someone. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 13 says, this is what happened when Jesus encountered those guys. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Could you imagine that all you can do is say, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, and it becomes your identity. And it beats you down so far and so hard that the only thing you can do is ask a stranger to have pity on you. So far broken that you're begging to be pitied, that somehow that God would show mercy on you, that he'd so show some kind of compassion or sympathy or humanity and understanding, that somehow, some way, somebody might feel something for you. And these guys didn't get to do it secretly. They had to shout from a distance to draw attention to themselves. Like protesters standing along the side of a road with a sign they had, unclean, worthless, don't come near me. Their private pain became a shame-filled and public reality for their lives. It's kind of like the poor guy who's breaking into modeling, right? And he thinks he's really good looking and he's got his picture taken and someone's scanning through the pictures and they find this good looking guy and they take his picture and they photo crop it onto their sign that says, then gets posted in the public square, free STD testing. This may be you. You know, how bad could it be to go through life with that as, oh, good Lord, I'm the STD poster child. How bad would that be? And that's what these guys live their lives like. That they were identified as unclean and horrible. But they stood at a far off distance and begged Jesus for something that they couldn't get from anybody else. And they had finally come to the right person. You know, it's interesting because most of us forget in the middle of our struggles about the difficulties that we're facing, about how good God is each and every day. And every day is a new opportunity for us. And the same book and laws that declared them as unclean reminds us of the fact of God's love and mercy. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23 says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, God's faithfulness and love and mercy has nothing to do with our circumstances and how we feel and what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent. It has everything to do with the fact that God is full of love and mercy, and he holds back judgment and wrath, and he pours out love and mercy and grace day after day after day. And if today's bad, guess what? You got a new one tomorrow morning. And we all get a new opportunity. And these guys had undoubtedly prayed before, and God had chosen not to respond according to their time frame, for whatever reason that was. But at this time, they cried out and found help and hope in just the right moment and God's perfect timing. And all 10 lepers were cleansed by Jesus. In Luke 17, 14, he says, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't walk over and touch them. He didn't have to go over and shake their hand. He didn't have to look, pick up their face and look at them in the eye and say, go. Your faith has made you well. He says, go do what's right. Show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus had done the most amazing thing. And ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't the healing. It was the seeing these men as who they were. Looking beyond the coverings on their face and the shabby clothes and the stink and the stench and the rot and the unclean. He saw them and said, go show yourself. These men who were unnoticed and unwanted and avoided at all costs had been seen by Jesus, and Jesus responded to them and loved them. What would happen if all of those people in our lives that are unwanted, uncared for, unclean, and nasty were just seen and loved? What would that do in our world? I mean, just seen and loved as another human being on this planet. Not as black and white or Republican or Democrat, just seen and loved. Maybe it would be a little bit better picture of what God is trying to accomplish. You know, it's interesting, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the reason was because those who had previously pronounced them as unclean were the only ones who could declare them as clean. And it demanded an incredible step of faith because these men had probably been taken advantage of over and over again by snake oil salesmen saying, look, man, I got this little jar, this little balm here, this little oil that you can put on that'll take care of your problem. It's going to be there, but it's just going to cost you $9.95. It's going to be okay. This will make it all better. They had probably lost everything that they had ever had. But could it be as simple as trusting Jesus and going and showing yourself as to the priest to let them declare you as clean? And those priests had the authority to declare the men unclean according to God's word and clean according to God's word, but had no power to cleanse them. Only Jesus had the power to cleanse them. So off they trotted, they limped and they shouted, unclean, unclean, as they head towards the temple to show themselves to the priest, because that's what the law told them that they had to do. And so soon, unclean, unclean turned into, I'm clean. I'm clean. And when Mark got his tongue back, he said, me too, me too. And what an incredible sight it would have been to see these guys who were rotting to death, literally being transformed back to life. Rot and death being replaced by healthy and wholeness. This meant that they could go home again. They could have a life again. They could get a job and stop begging over and over again. They were able to stand on their own two feet and be whole again and be touched and be held. How incredibly thankful these men were. Just like when we step by faith towards Christ for forgiveness of sin, so too they found cleansing from disease. But they were probably way more thankful for that than we are. When Jesus forgives us of our sins. Healing from disease and finding from forgiveness from Jesus seems to be 100% effective on Jesus' part and 10% effective on the recipient's part. All 10 were healed by Jesus. All were declared clean by the priest, but only one was thankful enough to come back and find Jesus and say thanks. In verses 15 through 16, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Could you imagine this poor guy got stuck in with a bunch of Jews that had leprosy? The Samaritan, right? This outsider. And he was always stuck. There was safety in numbers. But he join in with them because, you know, when you're dying of something, it really doesn't matter what neighborhood you're from. Here he was dying from leprosy, and he's with all the rest of the lepers, and they spent their days going around, unclean, unclean, stay away, unclean. And it says he came back praising God in a loud voice, and he had his hands up going, I'm clean, baby. I am clean. And there was nothing you could say or do to change that. I'm clean. Think about that for a minute, will you? How many of us have been forgiven and freed and set free? And we go, I want that. That's me. Don't tell anybody, because I don't want to be singled out as a Christian. That could go against me. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been freed from sin and hell and death. And if you aren't going to stand up and say, I'm free, I'm clean, I am going to stand one day in the presence of my Savior and my Lord, then you know what? Shame on you. Shame on you. Well, that's just not the way I am, Pastor. You're dead, you're dying, you're separated, and someone saves your life, and someone says, can you recommend a heart surgeon? Yeah, man, I got the best one on the planet. He is great. He see, I was dead, and you know, my buddy Rick, he in Indiana, he had his aortic valve replaced, he had 5 bypasses done, and he's sitting there going, I've got the best team. I wouldn't go anywhere else but to these guys in Goshen, Indiana. They saved my life. He's their poster child. Are we Jesus' poster child? We're supposed to be. We shouldn't be hiding our faces in shame. This leper, once hopeless, had found hope in Jesus. Once homeless, now could go home if he wanted to, or he could go with Jesus. He had options. He had been rejected by everyone as untouchable, unclean, and now he's being received by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just like us, we too were labeled unclean, unrighteous, unworthy, unholy, destined for hell and death and separation from God. But then Jesus stepped in and said, all you who are weary, come to me, and I will make you clean, and I will give you rest, and I will set you free. But we are barely thankful for the food that we eat and throw away when others are starving in the world. And why do we casually and quietly receive only what Jesus Christ can bless us with? Forgiveness of sin and eternal life. We ought to be more thankful like Louis the leper, saying, I'm clean, I'm free, and I'm his, and nothing will change that. You know, God rarely gets the credit he deserves, just the blame he doesn't. When he fails to meet our needs and our demands, when we want, where we want, how we want. And you know what's interesting is Jesus is there. He's like, dude, man, I didn't even touch anybody. I didn't even get near these guys. I simply looked across the street and said, hey, guys, go show yourself to the priest. And they went. They had the faith that I could back up what I was telling them to go do. And there were 10 of y'all, but only one of y'all came back. Where's the other 9? And you're a Samaritan? Seriously, the other 9 were Jews. Why is it you're here and not them? How sad those words of Jesus are. Where are the other 9? You think Jesus ever asks about those of us who claim to be following him and loving him? Where's Vince today? After all I've done, where's Vince? Where's John? Where's Lou? I think we have hit a stage in our lives, folks, where we've been Christians so long that we're taking the grace and the mercy and the love and the greatness of God in our lives for granted and not being thankful and thank-filled so it overflows so that we're walking down the street. Jesus, man, he is it. He's the only reason I'm still alive. He's saved me. I was a drunk, a drug addict, you name it, I did it. I was the worst and worst, and he saved me. But ladies and gentlemen, we go through and we leave and we Man, we don't even put Jesus as my co-pilot or any bumper stickers on our cars anymore. Let alone put up a sign or shout for Jesus. I love what Jesus says to that one man that came back. Verse 19, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So, here's a question. Are you commended by Jesus saying, rise and go, your faith has made you well, or are you just a bad illustration with your life? Bad illustrations are good things. And you might find your answer in the question of, are you thankful or just thoughtless when it comes to all that God has done for you and continues to do every day? So I want to challenge you with this, to look at your life as we head towards Thanksgiving and Christmas and make a list of all you're thankful for and spend a little time each day thanking God for what he's done. And don't even bother asking for another thing, but just be thankful and tell him about it. And then branch out and tell the people closest to you in rippling fashion out further and further the things you're thankful for that only God can do in your life. To the point that you're willing to shout from the mountaintops, I'm free, I'm clean. All because of Jesus, and I'm his. You know, as you can tell, I seem to be increasingly turning up the heat a little bit on all of us. I think that's important, because I think we're kind of complacent and we need thawed out a little bit. And I oftentimes say, you know, do your thing and get right with God. But this morning, I sat down and I wrote a simple prayer for all of us. And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me these words, because I want all of us to walk away from here today trusting and believing in Jesus, that he can forgive and he will cleanse and he will restore and make things right in anyone's life. So I wrote a prayer. So if you want, all you got to do is listen close and repeat after me, okay? And you need to trust and believe that God has made it possible that through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven, that he can do this for you, that he can cleanse you and make you right with him. And not only that, that he has given the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you through each and every day so that you don't have to step into the same puddle or pile of stuff that you have every day for the last 70 years of your life. Okay? So let's go before the Lord and just repeat after me. Good morning, God. Thank you for another day. To live for you in every way. I know I'm a sinner. And I need to be forgiven for so much. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who died to forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me for my sins, for they are many. I know I'm weak, unable to do this on my own. Holy Spirit, guide me in the right way. Give me the strength to choose what is right and not sin. Give me the humility I need to confess when I fail. Father God, thank you for forgiving me. Jesus Christ, thank you for making me clean. Holy Spirit, Thank you for walking with me. I am forgiven. I am clean. I am yours. Amen. We've got a closing video, and then I'll have some closing remarks.
Great is thy faith.
I think that has to be Louis Leper's favorite song. The Samaritan who found healing in Jesus Christ. He was outside the covenant promises of God. He was outside everything. He was unclean. He was unholy, unloved, untouched. But then he met Jesus. And when he did, he found out that God's greatest joy was the relationship he had now entered into. And you know, you watch that gal singing that song. I don't think she's hiding anything from the world, do you? She, I think, loves Jesus with all she's got. Go be like Louis the leper. Be like that gal. Go into all the world and tell them, great is the faithfulness of the God who loves us and restores and cleanses and pronounces us clean. Father God, we thank you and we love you for this day. And we just ask that as we go from here, you would keep us safe in the palm of your hand. And Lord, whether you take us to the mountaintop or you take us to the valley of adversity, we will trust you. And we will walk confidently knowing this. We are yours. And you are faithful, and we will see you face to face. Those are the three greatest things we could ever know in this lifetime. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we get to know these things, pray these things, and believe all things. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. The offering plates are at the doors. You can drop your offering in on the way out. And we thank you for being here. And we invite you back next week or Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. here. There's a full masked social distance service for you as well. Have a great week. We'll see you.